everyone, and welcome to a special episode of Sound Radar, where we go over the best soundtracks of 2011. I'm your host, Sophia Tong, and today I'm joined by Hollander Cooper.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Not bad.
And I have Charlie Barrett.
Hello.
And Henry Gilbert.
Hi.
So, thank you guys all for joining me.
Sure.
We're going to talk about some of the best soundtracks. Now, before we get into it, how much attention do you guys actually pay to the music when you're playing?
A good amount. Especially if it's done really well. It's one of those things where, like, most games you barely notice the soundtrack. If it's really bad, you notice how terrible it is. But if it's really good, as some of the ones this year were, it kind of stands out, and I end up wanting to, like, listen to it outside of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So if I end up wanting to listen to it outside of the game, that's usually a sign for me that I've been paying attention and that they did a good job.
Yeah.
I think I pay attention when it calls attention to itself. You know, so much of game music is just there to kind of fade in the background and for you not to notice. But if I notice it, then that's obviously a good sign, and probably it's a reason we're going to be talking about it today.
To be honest, for me, it's kind of gone into the background. Like, right now with portable games, I actually barely listen to the music and mostly just multitask listening to my own music or podcast, whatever, while I play it. Console games, though, I still listen, but if there aren't lyrics to the music, if it's not like an important music point, I just forget it. I don't listen as much.
Do you ever mute it and just play something else instead?
Only really on XBLA games. On console games, though, if I'm going to play a full console game, like a retail release, I want the whole experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've only muted it for the PS2 GTA games. That because I was 100%ing them, so I would tell, like, this is too long, I'm going to listen to other music while I do this, and
yeah,
turn it completely off.
If it loops and it's repetitive and it kind of gets annoying. Yeah, with console games, I usually have the music on, but then handhelds, I notice sometimes, like, I do like the music for Super Mario 3D Land.
Yeah, that's one of the few I did listen,
leave
like,
it on.
Play, yeah, with the music
But
on.
You can definitely play with it off, so, I mean, it takes away a little bit, but you don't actually need it to be there. So we do have a list of soundtracks that we wanted to highlight for 2011. It's always hard to pick just one. I mean, at the end, we can all talk about, like, our favorites, but we have several that we want to go through and just kind of talk about. And let's start with Batman, Charlie's 10 of the year.
My 10, but not my game of the year.
No.
Shockingly enough. Yeah, I mean, I think Arkham Asylum's music was really good. And Arkham City's at first, it felt like it was more of the same. And then there's parts in that campaign, especially near the end, when the drama's ratcheting up, when the music ratchets up correspondingly, more than I thought it would. Like, it would get, I would be doing one of the Predator modes, kind of going, trying to take out all Joker's henchmen around a certain area, and you could hear it being increased with each takedown.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts off kind of slow, then it gets a little bit higher up, and then by the end, like, the chanting and, you know, the chorus is coming in, and, like, just like, like, as you get each one down, it makes you feel very super heroic and very cool. When you're getting to your last, like, two or three takedowns, like, this is matching. I feel like I'm in a movie, not just in a Batman game.
It definitely does a good job at really bringing almost better than the movies did. Like, it gets that same feel it feels like I'm having direct control over the soundtrack almost, with, like, how well I perform is how awesome the songs are going to kick in.
And the menu music is pretty memorable
as
well.
The music definitely seemed informed by the Christopher Nolan, Hans Zimmer soundtracks. Like, they weren't ripping it off, but it definitely took cues from it.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying it's like, did Hans Zimmer do it? Because it totally sounds like him. But yeah, I guess it has that movie feel to it. And the fact that you are interacting, I think it helps. It's like, when they build up the score, and it makes makes you feel more powerful.
And it goes so well with, because in Arkham Asylum, it's just kind of like nighttime, but now it's nighttime and then the snow kind of falling in. And it feels much more cinematic because of that snow plus that music.
Mm-hmm.
And the song over the credits is one of my favorite music moments of the year.
Yeah,
spoiler alert.
Yeah, don't.
No, yeah. just beat it, guys, and see the credits.
It's
know
overrated.
What I'm talking about.
You think it's overrated?
I think that
Why?
Song is. When compared to some of the other games that had fantastic ending songs this year, and there's a few of them we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
I think it is personally, I don't think it was really all that great. I think it amounted to an Easter egg and not much more.
And but I'm getting glares, an Easter egg that everybody finds because it's
But I mean, in terms of like, it's like, hey, here, it felt like an after credits wink more than anything else to me.
Yeah, it's not as good as something like the AM, because it's not original. It's not an original song. It's just right. It was very. It just fit in very well with like you finish the story, you're feeling a certain way, and that just is like the nice end stinger that just perfectly wraps it all up.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely enjoyed it. I hearing everybody talk about how amazing that ending song was, I was like, I remember when it came on and I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Well, from what I've heard, it's fitting for how it ends. It's not, maybe it's not a spectacular song, but the way in context and all that,
definitely.
Works.
And there's two versions depending on what you do, right?
Yeah, the other one is cute, but it's not as, there's the one I'm
But there's two different singers.
Yes, yeah.
Which is an important distinction.
Okay. Yes.
I prefer the male singer. There's a female and a male singer.
Oh.
Anyway.
Mysterious.
All right. So there's two, but yeah, we won't spoil it for you. Go finish Batman and check it out. So another one, Uncharted 3, which is one of my favorites this year, actually, because I've always liked the music for the Uncharted series. Greg Edmondson does an amazing job. He's also the composer for Firefly. And Uncharted was like his first video game project, and he was just kind of called out of the blue. They're like, oh, can you do this for us? And he's just like, I don't really know anything about games. He's not a gamer. But he writes these really nice, like, melodic themes that, I don't know, some people are probably not as into it, but because Uncharted is so cinematic, I felt like it really fits. And I really like Nate's theme and as it evolves, like, over the course of three games.
Yeah, I feel like Uncharted's music is the one that I could hum now, besides, Batman's music I know I really enjoyed, but if I had to just hum it now, I couldn't. But Uncharted, like, that music, it kicks in, you're like, oh, man, I'm in for, like, another Indiana Jones-style, like, epic adventure.
Yeah, it's got great menu music that, like, pulls you right into it, that lets you know, like, that you're about to, what you're about to start. Like, it puts you in a great mindset. I do. I like its menu music.
I almost don't feel like in the years between Uncharted games, I almost sort of like it kind of fades into the background. And then when I hear that themes kick up, I'm like, crap, there is an Uncharted theme that's like amazing. Like it's not memorable until you hear it. And then all of a sudden it's like a rush of enjoyment and nostalgia for the other games.
Oh man, I'm about to play an Uncharted game.
Yeah, it's like when you start playing a Zelda game and the Zelda theme kicks in during the menus. It's this almost the same amount of thing. It's like, oh my god, this really is going to be another Uncharted game. Like, I get really excited. I'm like, this is really happening. I'm about to enjoy the crap out of this game.
Yeah, it's so sweeping and like with the whole orchestra and everything. And I interviewed him in my first episode of Sound Radar. What's interesting is that because he hasn't had a background in video game music, like the direction that Naughty Dog was giving him, it's like, oh, don't be too melodic because if it loops, it's going to get annoying. But like over the course of the games, they're like, you know what, just go be melodic. And it's kind of different how different composers approach it because, some game music does kind of blend into the background because they're not looping and they're just kind of like there, more ambient. Yeah. So then you kind of lose out on that. And I think part of the charm of a lot of like 8-bit, 16-bit soundtracks was because there are just melodies and like really short melodies that are super catchy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like currently the two games that like everybody could hum the themes to would be Uncharted and Halo.
Yeah.
But Uncharted feels a little less repetitive than Halo's.
Yeah.
And more fitting.
Yeah.
Halo is like, hey, it's chanting because that's what we decided when we made the first Halo game. But like Uncharted, it's like it's an adventure. It's sweeping, we've said. It's like it's very Indiana Jones without actually feeling like it's really ripping off Indiana Jones. Yeah, it's just adventurous.
It doesn't like rip off John Williams wholesale.
Right.
Remember that? I liked the music as it first began, as they're kind of walking down that London street. It kind of had a nice like staccato-ness to it almost. It's like something big is about to happen. But they're also carrying themselves as like, they're carrying themselves like way more like as badasses than they usually do. You know, at the very beginning with these suits on and just
they're really confident.
It's like the beat is going exactly to the cuts between the scenes of the bar and the street.
Oh, what was interesting, he mentioned that like his music, he doesn't actually compose for a particular scene. Like he just writes music and then the audio team figures out where it goes. So sometimes he'll be composing for a certain scene and they don't use it. And they're like, no, this fits over here. So either way, they'll use the stuff that he creates, but it's not it's always specifically tied to that particular scene. I know that not all of them do it.
I think it's worth noting that they do an exceptional job as well, too. I mean, like you said, like they do such a good, especially if he's not writing to the music, if they're kind of almost designing around it. That's
it's
even
a big,
more
like,
impressive.
It's a team job, and the audio director has to determine like all the pieces and put it together.
And it shows.
And that's cool because that's how they do it with the cutscenes as well, with the actors. Like they're willing to let those guys improvise and then work the cutscenes around them. I wish everybody could do follow their example for some of these things.
Yeah, and that's the thing with audio. It's like you have, you know, good voice actors, you have a great storytelling, and all this kind of comes together. Like if you had awful sound design and like awful voice acting, it takes away from that experience. So
with acting, it always feels like just locked in play for a lot of developers. They just, the voice acting is locked and you can't change it. You can't edit it at that point. You've already finished it, you know.
It's like too late. You can't really edit that one, but make them redo their lines. So Henry, one of your favorites this year was Saints Row 3.
Oh yeah, yeah. Though it didn't have much. Well, it did have original music written for it, and I actually really like the menu theme and the loading theme you hear. But it just used licensed music in the most interesting way to me this year. I think like at first it'll seem like it's just following GTA's example of, you know, it's got the radio stations, but it mixes things up more. It has just as crazy and eccentric as the rest of the game is. The soundtrack is too. Like it picks really weird, nostalgic, and like funky Cold Medina's in there, and I Need a Hero, the big ballad from the 80s, but then also just like there's even a station with music from TV shows on Adult Swim, like and it's also like it's not just radio stations too, like there are a few times where just there's a backing track to a scene, and it'll just, a mission will start with Kanye West Power playing in the background, or that Hero song will be played, or there's a really early opening part where you're driving with your friend and singing along to What I Got by Sublime, which is a song I'm actually like sick of. Like I don't like that song, but it's a great scene. Like so,
yeah.
It really took advantage of licensed music, like in a way very few things do. And you can tell it was worth the money they spent. It probably like cost them a lot of money to have some of those songs in there, really just for a joke. But it was worth it. Yeah, I think.
And what's good about these games is that, yeah, it's licensed music, but it kind of broadens your musical taste, too, if that's not something you listen to normally.
Yeah. That's why we did a whole feature on that. Yeah, that I just like, I like games that teach me new songs. Like, no, it's almost like I really, and one of the reasons, well, I just love the movies of Wes Anderson and a lot anyway, but his, like, soundtracks are almost just like a mixtape to introduce you to cool music.
Yeah. And it does have an original soundtrack. It's just unfortunate they're not going to release the licensed track. Probably because it costs too much money. But there is an original soundtrack. Did you notice it at all?
Yeah. Other than at the loading screen, there's also like you hear the I'm trying to hum the theme now, but I'm actually just thinking of the GTA sound of da 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 da, which is, they have their own spin on that, but I can't remember it now. But I remember liking it at the time, the real their regular music. But you don't hear it that much, to be honest. Like, it's mostly just licensed stuff.
Very cool. Did you guys have any experiences with Saints Row 3 this year?
Not enough to speak about. I know that like in the, they just use even like their kind of original, almost like sound effect-y music is used really well early on in the game. Like during, they know that when there's going to be an action scene, you don't just drop some weird ambient. You actually have to kick it up, and they did a really good job of that, and a better job than the last Saints Row games.
Mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to play Saints Row the third yet myself, but from what I hear, I like how these songs aren't just like, you know, they're not just playing randomly on the radio. They're playing with a certain scene, which somebody has carefully coordinated, which reminds me a lot of Red Dead Redemption and how those songs would come in at just the right moment so that everybody, it felt like a movie soundtrack, but it also felt somewhat natural, but it's happening the exact time they want it to happen to you.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Cool. And so Cooper, Bastion, I know you like the ending song to this, and you're fighting for that.
Yes.
Bastion fanboy.
complete Bastion fanboy.
So, I mean, Bastion just won the Spike VGA Award for best song.
Best song and best soundtrack.
No. Right. Yeah. Yes, Portal 2?
Yep. I can't believe it beat Portal 2 for best
Portal 2 got a lot of other awards. Don't worry.
All right, all right.
It's all right. It's all balanced out. But yeah, tell us why you love Bastion and its music so much.
Well, Bastion's regular soundtrack, it's composed of a lot of just interesting songs that play, non-lyrical songs that play. Pretty much like every few levels, you'll get a new song.
Yeah. And it's really, the theme of that level.
It's like the theme of the level and like the theme of the area. Like if you'll get almost like a new song per level, and if you get it's repeated, it's probably for a reason. But every so often, you'll hear someone singing as you play through a level. And it'll sound like one random lyric, and you don't really know what's going on. And then you'll, I mean, in the world of Bastion, there's very few people left. So it's really weird that you hear someone, and you eventually find those people, and that song is their theme.
Yeah.
And those songs are so good on their own, outside of the game. They have nothing to do with the actual like mechanics of the game. They fit the world, they fit the tone, but they're actually not like, it's not like they're singing about the situation in the game completely.
I dig my hole, you build a wall. I dig my hole, you build a wall. One day that wall is gonna fall. Gonna build that city on.
And then the ending song is a different, like, different music, but a combination of both of the lyrics, a song almost like a duet between the two characters, and it combines, like, the different messages of their songs combine into to talk about like what's going on at the ending of the game is just so beautifully done. It's so remarkably fitting, but even on its own, it's a fantastic composition and such a good song.
Meant more like after I beat the game and then heard the song, because I actually listened to the song before I finished it, and I was just like, oh, you know, it's nice, but I was like, I'm not really getting why. But then once I played it, it's like, oh, it all makes sense now, and it's actually kind of sad. And
it hits you a lot harder. I mean, it's like trying to explain to somebody why any song on any soundtrack is good if they haven't.
Right.
You have to kind of live through the explanation. And it's the first game this year that, as soon as the game was over, I was like, I need to have this soundtrack. And I know that a lot of people were the same way, where it's like, it's like you need to seek out this soundtrack. You want to hear that song again, and you don't feel like playing through the entire game again just to hear that song. And once they put the soundtrack up on their website, it blew up. They said that it was doing extremely well. They have like special editions of the soundtrack with like signed by the composer. I mean, and then the soundtrack actually has even more songs, including one sung by the narrator, which is just, it's not as good as the other ones, but it still has like a really gritty tone that it's like, it's just worked its way into like my normal playlists of non-video game songs and like random rock and stuff. It's just all of a sudden the songs from Bastion will come on and I'm like, wow. I remember the game, but I also just enjoy the song for what it is.
When you play with the loaded gun, when you play with the loaded gun,
and like when I first heard about Bastion, it was when I was at GameSpot. Like one of the reviewers ran up to me and was just like, you have to listen to the soundtrack or play the game. And like there's this one part in the game, like you mentioned, the part where the girl's singing. It's like that is implemented in such a way that you don't often find in video games, because usually if there's someone singing, it's like a credit song or just something going on in the background. But like as you're playing through, it's like the girl is singing there on her own, and like that,
because, and there's no, as you're going to her, you're finding bodies that are just completely turned to ash from from the calamity. So she's alone on this island, essentially, that's floating in the sky, playing like a harp.
Yeah.
I think, and just singing to herself because everyone around her has died.
Yeah, and that's just so powerful, like, when you use it in, like, in that kind of setting and used it in that way, because usually it isn't. Like, you don't hear the characters themselves, like, singing.
Yeah, and the character, because the game doesn't have that much voice acting besides the narrator, it gives those characters that the very few characters you meet,
mm-hmm.
I think there's, like, only a few, and most of them have songs, so yeah. You kind of get a voice for them through that music, and you get their personality through the music.
Have you guys had a chance to listen to the soundtrack?
I played half of Bastion. I didn't like it as much as Cooper did, but the music was nice, and hearing him talk now makes me kind of want to go back and finish it just to get to that point where that song will mean something.
If you're halfway through, you're about to hit, like, you hit one song, then you hit the other, and then it's the end.
I saw the girl. I didn't realize the significance of the music now, and you've almost convinced me. I will say
go
that
back
that,
and play it. Yeah.
Yeah. When we were, like, in our deciding our Platinum Chalice Awards for this year, and Cooper was championing Bastion, and he forced us to listen to it on YouTube in the middle of an important meeting, but we did make it almost all the way through the song, all sitting there just, like, you know, 15 of us quietly sitting around a table listening to this one Bastion song on YouTube. So that speaks to how good it is.
Yeah.
In the middle of one of the most important meetings, editorial meetings of the year.
It's probably why I didn't come to Fisticuffs, because the calming music that you played from Bastion.
Gotta build that wall.
It's like we all just relax. We're like, okay. Yeah. It's like when I started playing Bastion, like, I know everyone already talked, like, hyped it up a lot. And with, like, the narrator and everything, I was like, oh, this is different. It's kind of cool. But yeah, it didn't strike me as much until I played more and then beat the game, because for me, it kind of took a while for it to build up, and I know some people just loved it.
It's a weird game that, like, if you don't beat it, you may not like it as much.
Right.
Like, once
I think
you
that's
beat
the
it,
case.
It's almost like, it's not even like there's some crazy, like, unbelievably interesting ending or some weird plot twist. It just caps off the experience in such a better way than most games. Like, it has such a good build up, then, like, a nice climax, then just such a nice conclusion, and it all just ties together better than most games, especially better than most downloadable games.
Yeah, and I think I do like it more now that I finished it, because before I was just like, yeah, it's good. Yeah.
In a small way, almost like Portal, where, like, I would talk to people like, yeah, I like Portal 1. It's like, did you beat it? It's like, I never finished it. It's like, well, then
no,
you didn't play Portal 1. You didn't play Portal.
And the same thing with Portal 2.
Yeah, it's not as much like that, but it's still, like, in the same way that when somebody's like, oh yeah, I like Bastion, but I didn't finish it. It's like, no, you have to, and then you'll like it so much more. Like, it changes everything just because it does such a good job of tying itself together and really making you feel, and so much of that is because of the music.
Yeah, and one of my favorite soundtracks of the year that actually has a lot of meaning in its music is To the Moon. And I know only Cooper has finished it in this room, and the rest
I don't have an iDevice, so.
No, it's PC.
It's PC
exclusive.
You can play it here at work.
And it runs on, like, it can run on, like, the lowest end PC ever, because it looks like a Super Nintendo game.
Well, okay, well, sell me on this.
So, it's hard to get into this without having some spoilers, as long as Charlie doesn't mind that we mention some of the musical aspects of it. Because I know you wanted to play.
It's not a spoiler to know that you're going, I mean, the basic plot is that you're...
I know the premise.
Oh, yeah, the premise. So... Okay, so for those who don't know about the game, it's like the premise is that you play as these two doctors, and there's this man, an old man, Johnny, who's dying, and his last wish is to go to the moon. And these two doctors have the ability to go kind of grant his wish, and by jumping into his memories and kind of, it's like Inception, like you plant this seed in his childhood to kind of encourage him to go to the moon. And there's a lot of, like, philosophical, like, conversations you can have around just this idea. It's like, you know, living with regrets, like, would you want to die with, like, fake memories, or, you know, would you want to just pass on?
Yeah, you're not actually going back in time, you're just going to his early, you want to go to his early childhood, so you'd be like, yo, kid, go to the moon when you grow up, so that in his mind, that's what he thinks happened.
Right, but if you, like, rearrange all that, it's like, would it really mean that? Like, would you still want to go to the moon? But anyway, the whole point of the game, it's only 4 hours, it's like an interactive story, you're trying to find out why he wants to go to the moon, because he actually doesn't know. So then the doctors have to jump back. It's kind of like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, where it's like one leap at a time. It's like they can't just jump all the way back. They have to go through his life backwards. So
you guys just cited Inception and Eternal Sunshine. That's quite a recommendation.
Yeah, no, this is a really awesome story.
Wait until we tie in Braid. but the thing about the game, I think you can talk basically about his wife without spoiling anything.
Yeah, so he has a wife, River, and... The thing is, like, when I first came across the game, I know people are hyping it, and I actually got linked to Laura Shigehara. She's the composer for Plants vs. Zombies. So she did a song on this album, and, like, it was really sad. Like, the first few notes, I was like, oh.
Short steps, deep breath, everything is all right. chin up. I can't step into the spotlight. She said, I'm sad, somehow without any words. I just stood there, searching for an answer.
And then I went to the soundtrack page, clicked on the first track, and it was another theme, and I was just like, oh, these like piano melodies that are just, it's like pianos and violin strings. It's just like, you make me want to cry. So like, I was already hooked, and I was like, I need to play this game. But like, as you play through the game, like the soundtrack comes in at just the right moments, and like they're reminiscent of the old like 16-bit era. Like, you hear these melodies loop, but it doesn't, the game's not long enough for it to really bother you, and you don't really get stuck in any place where it's like, oh, this, you know, this track is looping again.
It's also kind of weird because even though it's reminiscent of 16-bit in terms of visuals and audio, they're not, the audio is like full piano. They're not doing, they're not like making it chip tunes where they're like, well, we're limited by this. We're, they're not trying to make it like, they're just using that artistic style because that's what works. But the music is like full piano music. It's not limited by the hardware.
That must be an interesting juxtaposition.
It's
of having
really
those
weird
the sprites.
First.
It's
really weird at first.
Well, I've seen the screens, and the screens really are like hitting that sweet spot for me of my 16-bit
RPG. I don't
RPG
think the
days.
Game can be played in higher than 640 resolution on the PC. I played it on my TV, and I'm like trying to get it. I'm like, I'm watching it on like a 50-inch screen. I'm like, I need to get this better than this, and then I couldn't, and I'm like, it's okay, it's still beautiful.
So you learn about his wife, River, and gosh, I'm like trying to think like how much of this can I say.
Well, you can,
well,
you, I mean, you can say he when you
but
get
he
to
writes
him at the end of the game.
But he writes a theme for her.
Yeah, you can say at the end of the he writes a theme for her.
It's sounding sadder.
And then it's like the theme, it's very sweet. And yeah, when you listen to it, it's like, oh, the game even says like, oh, it's a little repetitive. But when you find out why it's repetitive, that means like the actual music ties into the storyline, and like that's something that I think is really rare.
And the music, I mean, it's devastating to listen to, even outside of the context. Even now, knowing nothing about the game, it's a devastatingly sad song.
Yeah.
It's a repetitive piano melody that makes me literally tear up when I listen to it. Even before
I started
playing.
And that's how I got
playing.
Hooked. I just like, I didn't even look at the game yet. I was just like playing through the Bandcamp menus, and I was just like, oh, the soundtrack's so sad. It's like I would just want to play it just to experience the music. But yeah, the story is
every time they played it a lot throughout the game, and every time I'd get misty and just like, oh, this is just like this is just the worst thing ever. I feel so crappy.
Like happy, so it's not a happy, like bittersweet sadness. It's like a like depressing Schindler's List sad music.
Yeah,
a little bit. But the thing I like about the game too, it's like, yeah, it's sad. The premise is sad. The music is really sad. The game's also really funny. Like the two doctors are just hilarious. They tell all these like funny jokes. They reference the video game industry. They reference like pop culture. There's even a book where it makes fun of Twilight. Like there was all these like random references.
It was called like Flesh. No, it wasn't called that. It was called like Zomblight. It's like a zombie falls in love with a girl.
Yeah. So it's like poking fun at things like
that. And he rots in the sunlight.
But yeah, it's not only is the music and the storytelling special, but like all the little references that you can find, and it's a game that you want to talk to someone afterwards because you're like, wait, what did it mean when they did this, or when you found this, like what does that mean? So it's very symbolic.
I immediately started sending Sophia messages on Twitter being like, I need to talk to you right now, because no one else, because it's like To the Moon is the least search engine optimized phrase ever, and I can't find any forums where people are talking about it, and I need to talk to people about this game. And a lot of it is like, it's the soundtrack just does such a good job of making you feel in, and I think if they would have like tried to make it sound 16-bit, it would have lost a lot. But it's the fact that they didn't. It's like the most highly produced part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's the music.
Should I wait to listen to it fully in the game, or can I listen to it beforehand?
Yeah, you can listen to it beforehand. I won't spoil anything.
But at the same time, you can. I literally did just at like one day, I got home on I think Friday last Friday. And I'm like, I need to play To the Moon now. And I sat down at like 7 and played it from 7 until like 11:30 at night and just beat the game in one sitting. I think I got up to get water. But otherwise, I'm like, I need to figure out how this is going to end. It's like watching a movie.
It is.
Even though
it's like
4 hours long instead of 2, you want to experience it all in one sitting if possible. That's how it's the most impactful. And I mean, I doubt anyone listening to this has ever been like, 4 hours of gaming?
Four hours.
I can't do that.
It's available at freebirdgames.com. It's not available on Steam yet. They're trying. But yeah, it's this little indie game that is only being spread by word of mouth, but it's totally worth playing, and you guys should check it out. So, Henry, you liked El Shaddai. You actually reviewed the game.
I reviewed it, gave it an 8, and the best the thing that was great, the gameplay in it actually is, it's good, but not remarkable. And there's even some parts where like the platforming just kind of sucks. But the it's really just, I've said this many times before, that you should play it because it's unlike anything you've ever played before. Just because each area is like it's so different and so unique from anything in another game, and it's just all about this artistic expression, and it does that just both visually and with the audio. Like the soundtrack is really, really great, especially like I don't know, it's really eclectic too. Like it's got some chanting, you know,
some choral music in there.
Yeah, the kind of almost cliched choral music, but they make it work for them. And also the game is based on, you know, scripture, so the Dead Sea Scrolls, so it fits more. But there's also this one of my favorite songs. I think it's called Regenesis, but it's it takes place in the sixth world, or no, the fourth or fifth world, where you fight Armaros, and his whole stage, like his world, is aquatic, and there's like, it almost feels like you're in this huge aquarium some of the time, and it sounds like whale song almost. But then all of a sudden they start incorporating whale songs with like very like techno club beats too, and like there's wow. This whole the Armaros fight scene basically is like him dancing like he's at a club and ignoring you while you fight all his like enemy, like all his sidekicks or whatever. But it's That was one of my favorite like musical moments of the thing, and it's I don't know, it's all over the place with this music, which I really like, but it helps make each level like very special. That's what I like.
Yeah. It's a beefy soundtrack too. It's like how many discs?
It is two discs. Like it's a very full. Yeah, it was released on soundtrack in Japan by Square Enix actually. Like it was. Enix like merchandised it mostly because the publisher doesn't have a merchandising arm. So, but yeah, it was like two discs, like about 40 tracks long, I'd say. But it's there's also just this. I really like this kind of like ambient kind of noise during like every time you beat a stage. They disguise the loading screen of basically just of a character telling you what just happened in the stage, which you actually kind of need because it's one of the most like. Oblique stories I've seen in gaming this year. Like you won't know what's happening as you're playing it most of the time. But I just like, it's just this kind of just like guitar-y like near 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 near. It's really good. I like that part a lot.
Yeah, and you also liked Shadows of the Damned. Another great soundtrack to a really bizarre game.
Yeah,
that is a good game.
Yeah, before you even play Shadows of the Damned, like I came to expect it would have great music because Akira Yamaoka is like one of the most famous composers in at least the Japanese field. Like,
he did Silent Hill.
Yeah, he did Silent Hill, and also like he was the director of Silent Hill, so that's why the music in Silent Hill works so well with the gameplay, because he was in charge of both, which you don't get a lot of the time, and Japanese games aren't as well known for. The music in it is all over the place. Like it's sometimes it's punk rock, and other times like it kind of gets a feel for like the Hispanic roots of the main character, and then other times like it. I really like the like when they write intentionally bad or at least like low grade music. Like there's a series of shooter stages that are just like. Horizontal shooter like riding or whatever, but where you shoot, where you're just shooting and it's supposed to look like a pop-up book, and the music in the background just like feels like it's from like a children's music box or something, you know. And
I'd forgotten about those stages, but you're totally right.
Yeah, those are great. And also just like the loading stages too, like a similar kind of just low-finess to them that I really like.
And the whole game is like most famous for just having a bunch of crude juvenile sexual humor, but like it just has so much fun with it. And by the end of the game, like without spoiling anything, it's pretty like sweet, dramatic ending about love. It's like for a game full of boner jokes, like it's about love in the end.
Yeah,
it's definitely a game that a lot of people kind of just passed over, which is unfortunate because I hear so many good things about it.
And both that and El Shaddai are on our top 7 overlooked games of 2011, so people want to find 5 more of those, they can go and find that feature on GamesRadar.
But it was cool that like Yamaoka, like it was sad when Yamaoka left Konami, because you know the Silent Hill series has still been, he actually did the music for Shattered Memories, which was a great game, but I think that was one of his last Konami projects.
Such a good game.
And I feel like, Silent Hill's definitely weaker without him, but I was curious what he was going to do, and now he's an employee of Grasshopper Manufacture with the famous Suda 51, so he's going to keep doing not just music, but also more game design stuff with them, too.
Is he going to do music for Lollipop Chainsaw?
I think he is, yes.
That
should
be
interesting, yeah.
I know. I'm kind of excited now for it. So a game that we've all played, Skyrim.
Except for Henry. Henry hasn't played it.
No, I haven't played
it. Come on, Henry.
Don't do it.
Do it, Henry.
I've got a lot of other games.
You have to beat Zelda first.
Skyrim
is something that, when you're ready and have like 500 hours to spare, that's when you jump in.
Yeah, I'll be playing that well into probably into 2013.
Jeez.
I'm actually getting tired of playing it. Not tired of the game, but like tired of being like getting home. It's like almost another job. It's like,
better get back to Skyrim.
I better go kill some dragons.
Yeah, last night, my wife was like, "You want to play Skyrim?" I'm like, "I can't because I got to get up early tomorrow. If I play, I'm going to stay up till 1 a.m. again and I'm going to be sleepy. I just can turn it on."
But how do you guys feel the music was implemented in the game?
Well, before we get into the game, I like we talked about the menu music of other games, like the menu music of that is like the closest to sounding like Lord of the Rings style, like lots of chanting, but it sounds either inspired by or just very nicely reminiscent of the big
Howard
fantasy
Shore
soundtracks.
And I've on several occasions like turned the game on and been like, I have to play, and then I'm like, actually I won't play, but I'll just leave the game on so that like as I'm like cleaning my apartment I hear like Dovahkiin, 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 and I'm like, yeah,
that was good.
Nice.
Unrelenting force, all the trash out of my apartment.
That was a good reference.
Thank you.
Yeah, poor Henry doesn't have anything to...
Sorry.
No.
That's the shout where you push things.
I've seen... What I figured. I also saw that, like, it has good loading screen music, too, which is good.
There's a lot of loading screens. So. No, that's good. It keeps you entertained.
At least they have nice little rotating items that come up as you're teaching you stuff about the game as you wait.
Yeah,
and the soundtrack, it's when you're just wandering in the middle of nowhere, there may be, like, almost nothing.
Yeah,
but sometimes as you approach a city... the music just comes in full force, and it just, like, I'll be, like, approaching a random village I've been to, like, a dozen times, and the music kicks in, and I all of a sudden feel, like, invigorated, and I'm like, I'm ready to explore. Yeah. I don't care that I've already done everything here. I'm going to wander around and act like a boss, just, like, looking at people like, yeah, you hear that? That's my theme playing.
Well, I do like how it's implemented, because it actually scares me in some moments. Like, I'm wandering by myself, and it's really quiet, and then all of a sudden, like, the music starts to pick up. I'm like, oh, geez. It's usually because I'm being chased by something, like a bear.
When the music comes in to let you know there's a dragon, like, and the music starts just booms in with like your controller shaking. And you're like, oh crap, there's a dragon.
Yeah,
you're like, you start looking around the sky, like, oh my god, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Like, I got to make sure. I got to decide right now. Am I going to fight it or am I going to run?
Yeah.
And that music is like, I've come to be afraid of that music.
Yeah, you have to fear it. And also, my personal favorite thing in the game, in terms of audio, is that when you're somewhere near a word wall, which is where you gain the ability to learn to unlock the ability to learn a shout, it starts this like chanting, humming music. And it's from the closer you are, the louder it is, but you hear it when you're kind of far away.
Yeah.
So like sometimes you'll enter a dungeon and you'll kind of hear it like really low. And you're like, whoa.
I get scared when I hear that come
and
on.
It's
and
like,
I'm like,
and you're like, because you know, number one, there's going to be something really hard defending that word wall. But number two, once you hear that, you're not leaving that dungeon until you find it, because you need to find the word wall. So it's like
those are better than magic.
Yeah, they're they're like the strongest abilities in the game. So it's like I need to explore this place completely because then you'll like take the wrong turn and it'll fade. It's like no, I need to go this way. And then you'll go and you'll hear it kind of build up again. And you're like, I'm almost there. I'm gonna get this ability.
And if I guess we're talking about music, not instrumental music in that game, the bards. So far from what I played, they've only sung like 2 songs, but they're pretty well written. Even if the bards themselves are kind of annoying and full of themselves.
Yeah,
I haven't gotten that far.
Ragnarok the Red, and they have a some kind of theme for the Imperials, and you can ask them to sing either one. And they're both pretty funny. The lyrics and the music is surprisingly good for what's supposed to be a dumb bard character in the bar who's there.
You're not even supposed to like them.
Yeah,
it's crazy because it's like going to be a 4-disc soundtrack, and considering how huge the game is, it's like I can't imagine how many hours of music had to go into this.
But I mean, it's one of those games. It's like you forget. Like so many games now are coming out like every 2 years, and it's like when an Elder Scrolls game comes out every 4, it's like, man, why does it take so much longer? You're like, oh, because they've put 50 games worth of game in this game.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And 50 times worth of bucks.
Oh, yeah.
But so if you guys had to pick one soundtrack this year, what would you guys pick?
Instrumental or both?
Both. Like if you think like one soundtrack that really stood out for you guys this year.
I have to go Bastion. I've on several occasions, like it's just my go-to like driving music. Like I'll just turn on the Bastion soundtrack and listen to it on
driving
repeat.
Driving music?
Everything about just everything.
Rainy driving music?
Anywhere music. Like it's like I'm playing League of Legends and I'll mute that music. Now. Like I'll mute the League of Legends music and just have the Bastion soundtrack playing in the background. Or I'm like anytime I'm doing anything ever, I will play the Bastion music and it makes it better.
Well, I'd go with Shadows of the Damned. It is my favorite. When I look back on it, at first I thought it was El Shaddai, but which I do love a lot. But like, I don't know, there were more standout tracks to me on Shadows of the Damned, just like that could work just as one listens. Like, that, yeah.
I guess for like overall score, I'd go for Arkham City or maybe Skyrim, but probably more likely to. I'm gonna listen to Skyrim for hundreds of hours, so I have to like it. But Arkham City, I'd rather like that'll get me my blood pumping more. But if I had to choose something just for based on like songs I've listened to already dozens of times, it'd be the three songs in Portal 2, Once You Gone, Exile Vilify, and what's the third one?
The turret singing one?
The turret opera, yes.
The turret opera.
Yeah, and you can download all that online, too.
All three of those songs give me chills every single time I listen to them. Even all these months later, I can just pull them up on YouTube. I'm like, oh, my God, that game's amazing.
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
It's so hard to just pick just one because I do have a favorite. Like, I think Uncharted is the best, like, orchestral thing. And I love To the Moon because it had the tie-in with the story. But, like, some other soundtracks that are really just good on their own. It's like I wanted to mention really quick was, like, SOCOM 4. It's like, yeah, it's a shooter, and a military shooter on top of that, but Bear McCreary, the composer, he also did Battlestar Galactica
and Walking Dead, I think.
Yeah, and so the way he approached
Dark Void,
the Capcom game, and he's actually a big 8-bit fan, so he loves composing like 8-bit music too. So you'll hear like a little bit of that in the game as well. But I think the way he approached like a shooter was interesting because usually it's kind of in the background and no one really cares, but like he was given the freedom to kind of approach it and give it like a more like Asian theme. So he used like a gamelan orchestra and like just all those themes that came in. It's like if I listen, like I didn't even play the game, like I just listened to the soundtrack and it was actually really good and I would just leave it running.
I can't wait until he does a soundtrack for like a really good game. Like he keeps doing soundtracks for either meh games or like really SOCOM's like, oh, that's it's not bad, but I can't wait until he's such a good, he's so good at it. It's like, please, somebody give him a better game.
Give him Uncharted, like a big sweeping thing that he can go crazy on.
Or like, why isn't he doing the soundtrack for like Starhawk?
Yeah,
he obviously knows how to do like a cool like spacey.
Give him Prey 2 or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Prey 2
would be fantastic. He's getting there, building up his repertoire. I mean, there's so many game composers out there now.
Yeah, it's true.
Like a lot to choose from, but yeah, he definitely has talent, and I think he'll get somewhere. Another one that it's kind of interesting. How many of you guys played Deus Ex?
Me.
I've played it.
Yeah. Did you guys notice the soundtrack?
Actually,
much?
Yeah. That's I liked that music.
It was more ambient. It's different tone than techno-y. It's like sci-fi. He actually did Splinter Cell, one of the Tom Clancy Splinter Cell games. Which one was it? Double Agent. But yeah, he comes from like a primarily film and TV background, so he didn't really get into games until recently. But
I've noticed a lot of people making that jump.
Yeah. Well, because a lot of people are probably spending more money with game music soundtracks now, so they can afford maybe Hollywood composers to do something. I mean, Hans Zimmer being pulled into a lot of projects. There's always like, with a score from Hans Zimmer.
And we know when we see John Williams score for a game,
although
gaming has really arrived.
Like, when's the last thing? What's the last thing he did anyway?
He does every Steven Spielberg movie, I'm sure.
Well, I thought he had been basically retired. I haven't kept up with Spielberg's soundtracks of late, but I don't think he
may have done something with Super 8.
The last...
Oh, did he?
Maybe. I think the last big, like, theme he did was the Harry Potter theme.
Yeah.
Like, he wrote the that whole thing.
Oh, but that was a while ago.
That was 2001.
He's kind of repeated that from 2001 until now.
And his Star Wars theme will forever live on. I mean, everyone loves John Williams in that industry. But, all right, well, thank you guys for joining me and discussing game music. And that was our best for 2011. Be sure to check back on Games Radar for more video games coverage.